Let us first take roll call, and when I call your name, please provide the group with a brief introduction for the benefit of new members and members of the public. My name is Debbie Giaquinta, and I'm chairman of the board. Denise Shields.
My name is Denise Shields, and I am a board member, and I'd like to apologize on behalf of myself today because I'm just at home recuperating from surgery, so I'm going to have my camera off.
Well, we're glad that you can be with us, and we hope you're well.
Thank you.
Aaron Smith is excused for the day. Mary, would you like to introduce yourself and any staff?
Hi, I'm Mary Bixby, and I'd like to introduce my staff. There's Tim Tudor, Executive Director, Lynn Alipio, CBO, and the famous Will Berry, who is Administrative Finance. And Angela, I think is on too, and she's monitoring our technology.
Thank you.
There she is.
Welcome, everyone. Item 1.3 is consideration and approval of adoption of the board findings pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E1. The Charter School Board of Directors determines, the Mira School Board of Directors determines in accordance with Government Section 54953E1B that meeting in person would present imminent risk to the health or safety of attendees. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E3, the board has also reconsidered the circumstances of the state of emergency declared by the governor on March 4th, 2020, and finds the state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the directors to meet safely in person and or that state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. Additionally, AB 361 requires that this finding be made every 30 days to continue to permit teleconference meetings without complying with the teleconference requirements of Government Code Section 54953B3. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.3? Debbie Giaquinta makes a motion. May I have a second?
Denise Shields will second.
Okay, we will be conducting all voting via roll call. When I call your name, please vote. Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise Shields?
Aye.
And Aaron Smith is excused. Motion passes. Item 1.4 is the establishment of quorum. Item 1.4 is the establishment of a quorum, and do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.4? Debbie Giaquinta will make a motion to approve item 1.4. May I have a second?
This is Denise Shields, and I'll make a motion to second.
Okay, again, we will do all voting via roll call. Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise Shields?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 1.5 is the Pledge of Allegiance. If I can ask you to please stand and recite the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Item 1.6 is the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion for approval of the agenda, item 1.6?
This is Denise Shields. I'll make a motion to approve the agenda, item 1.6.
And Debbie Giaquinta seconds it. Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise Shields?
Aye.
Motion passes. Moving on to public comment, item 2.0. Public comment for items of interest to the public and within the scope of the Maris Education Inc. Board non-agenda shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur regarding items that are not on the agenda at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to briefly respond or give direction to staff. All public comments will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Public comment for the agenda item shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. Each agenda item is being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each non-agenda item will have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, the board chair may equivalently decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted maximum. Item 2.1, non-agenda comment. This is the opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Thank you. Hearing none, we will move on to item 2.2, agenda items for public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on agenda items? Thank you. Hearing nothing, we will move on to 3.0, public hearing. I will. The Governing Board of Directors encourages participation for parents, teachers, and members of the community interested in the affairs of Merritt Secondary School. The public hearing is now open for the A to G Completion Improvement Grant Plan, and it is 1106. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on the public hearing. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Tim, is there a staff report on item 3.1?
Yes, Debbie, I'll be happy to go over the proposed grant and how we plan to use the funds. When we sent this to the board packet, we were not, the state had not released the amounts, but it looks like Merritt will get about $150,000 for this grant. This is with the new budget for this year. This is an A to G improvement grant. And the goal here is to help foster youth, low-income students, and English learners improve A to G eligibility. So it helps them get onto the UC schools and four-year university by helping them achieve A to G requirements for high school graduation. So some of the activities that we're planning to implement based upon a needs assessment, talking with stakeholders and other members of our Merritt community, some of those activities will be high frequency tutoring. So students will have the opportunity to work one-on-one with our staff in completing the credits needed for A to G coursework. We are looking at adding additional paraprofessionals to help with this process as well. Especially focusing on these students that maybe have an average of a C or less in terms of GPA. We are looking to expand our AVID program, which will provide additional strategies on completing credits, preparing for college. We are looking at new and engaging supportive A to G approved courses. So continuing to expand the course offerings that we offer that are A to G approved by the UC system. We're going to also have specialized professional development through our equity and inclusion department, so we can continue to have that college going mindset for our school community and supporting our students. We are also looking at A to G coursework monitoring system. So it allows for our teachers through our student information system to easily monitor, and also through credit audits about how we will ensure that these students can complete all the A to G requirements. We will continue to provide an additional supports for mental health and social emotional learning, promote life skills, wellness, positive behaviors, and resiliency to achieve these goals. We are going to look at partnering with local colleges and university and other nonprofit organizations to have workshops related to A to G requirements, expose our students to more post-secondary institutions so they become familiar and comfortable with attending college. Marketing materials to continue to staff so that, to students and parents, so they know what's available to them and they could take advantage of those opportunities. Also additional family engagement opportunities through our open house events, senior nights, English learner advisory committees, student site councils, and our family learning series will also help promote A to G completion within our Merritt students and communities, and additional financial assistance awareness for these underserved student groups to encourage registration in dual enrollment, articulation, AP exams, things like that, that will help support A to G completion. So those are a number of the activities that we're proposing to implement in terms of helping to use the funds that are available to us through the A to G completion improvement grants. Happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Tim. Are there any questions for Tim? Mary, is there anything that you would like to add?
No, thank you.
Okay, so it is 1:11, and at this time we will close the public hearing. All right, moving on, we will move to item 4.0, which is the closed session. We have the, at this time, do people leave, Angela? Or is everyone on this? The closed session?
She may be on mute.
You're on mute, Angela.
Angela will play.
Sorry about that. I was just adding the closed session people into the meeting. So if you give me a few moments, it takes a little while because it buffers and it's going to move you automatically into the closed session. So just bear with me one moment, please.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see.
Good job, Angela.
Yeah, I'll let her in. Thank you, Angela. That went terrific. Okay, so we will quickly just take roll call once again to see that the board members are back. Debbie Giapuente is here. Denise, are you back with us?
Present.
Okay, all members are present. There was no action taken in the closed session. So we will move on to administrative items, items 5.1, to consider the approval of the revised 2021-2022 meeting calendar to include additional regular meeting on Tuesday, March 15th, 2022 at 1:00. Lynn, do you have a report for item 5.1?
Debbie, it's just a statement that we are requesting if we can add one regular board meeting for this year to support the provision of the bylaws.
Okay, thank you. And Mary, and you have a recommendation?
For approval, please.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion to approve item 5.1?
This is Denise, and I'll make a motion to approve item 5.1.
Debbie Giaquinto will second it. Debbie votes aye. Denise?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 5.2 is the California Fair Political Practices Commission Statements of Economic Interest, Form 700, the annual filing. This is an informational item and a reminder to file the Form 700. The deadline for the county is April 1st. You may submit your form electronically, and or Angela Neri is able to help you with the filing of your hard copy. If you would like Angela to assist, she will need the form back from you no later than March 25th. Item 5.3 is to consider approval of the terms of lease renewal for APN number 04101723500. Lynn, do you have a report for item 5.3?
Yes, thank you, Debbie. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'd like to request to correct the agenda to say consider approval of the terms of the lease and take out the word renewal. Because okay. This is the original lease and not the renewal. This lease is for Main Street Resource Center, which is located within the geographical boundaries of the authorizer Hesperia Unified School District. The lease was originally acquired by Mears Education on February 8, 2018, and the initial term of the lease is for 5 years, therefore ending the lease on July 31st, 2023. The board, if you recall, before we enter into contract with the landlord, you guys visited this site. And regarding the specifics about this actual lease, the total area is 3,050 square feet, which is currently at 1.86 per square foot per month, or 22.27 per square feet annually. Currently, the monthly lease cost is $4,534 with a triple net, 1,126. Therefore, the combined monthly list for this site is 5,660. Total annual lease cost is 67,120. And the total contract obligation for 5 years is 339,000. The terms of the contract is that base rent will increase by 3% every year. We also have negotiated in 2018 that the property tax will be abated back to MIRAS on a yearly basis, which means they collect property tax, but MIRAS is a nonprofit organization. Therefore, the landlord with that agreement in the lease will give us back the property tax that we paid the landlord. The option to renew for this lease is another 5 years. This lease has also cancellation provisions, which hardly nowadays landlord does not want to provide cancellation provisions. The MIRAS have the right to cancel the lease anytime after the second year of the lease by providing 120 days written notice and payment of an amortized leasing expenses. And that's it.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Lynn. Mary, is there a recommendation for item 5.3?
I'd certainly like to commend Lynn for staying on top of our leases. She has a wealth of understanding in terms of renewals and all the issues relating to our leasing, and we hold a lot of leases. So thank you, Lynn, for all your work on that. And I recommend approval.
Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of item 5.3?
This is Denise Shields. I also commend Lynn and would like to make a motion to approve item 5.3.
Debbie Giaquinta seconds it. Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 5.4 is to consider the approval of the terms of the lease. Is this a renewal, Lynn? This is a renewal for APN number 6401-40031-9. Lynn, do you have a report for item 5.4? Excuse me.
Yes. This lease is for the Palm Desert Resource Center at the Westfield Mall, which is an adjacent county site for MIRAS Secondary School. And under, I just wanted to inform the board re-emphasize that under Assembly 1507, an adjacent county is not allowable. That's the provision of the law. But the provision of the law allows the school to continue to operate the adjacent resource counter after the passage of the law until the charter is renewed. So therefore, even though this law was passed, we are okay until the renewal of the charter petition. We will cure the geographic restrictions on or before the charter renewal for MIRAS Secondary School, which is going to be next year. This lease was originally acquired in 2012 with Westfield. The lease agreement is now under the Tenancy Agreement Amendment Number 2. So we are now on Amendment Number 2 with a 4-year term lease. And normally, the very beginning of our partnership with Westfield, they only want to give 2 years. But we are successful in having them give us 4-year terms. Why do we want 4-year terms? Because management changes, and this is such a very, very low cost lease. Normally, leases with Westfield runs from $60 per square feet to $120 per square feet per yearly. With this site, we are only paying Westfield $22.58 per square feet per annum. This site is about 2,531 square feet, and currently it's $1.88 per month. The monthly lease is $4,677, and the annual lease cost for this site is $56,120. The contract that total contract obligation for 4 years for this site is $228,562. The annual rent is increasing by 3%. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Lynn. Excellent report. Do I have a motion for approval of item 5.4?
This is Denise. I'll make a motion to approve item 5.4.
I will second it, Debbie Giaquinta, and I vote aye. Denise?
Aye.
The motion passes. Item 5.5 is to consider the approval of the terms of the lease renewal for APN 305-712-122-0000. Lynn, do you have a report for item 5.5?
Yes, thank you, Debbie. This lease is for the Topaz Resource Center, which is located under the geographical boundaries of Hesperia Unified School District. The lease was originally acquired in 2019 with our partners and our first landlord with our first site in Hesperia, the main street, under Mr. Herskew, but he sold his site. And so now we're dealing with another landlord. This agreement is now under the tenancy agreement amendment number 2. And we exercise the option to renew this lease with a 5-year term. The new term is from from September 1, 2019 to August 31, 2023. The total area for this site is 4,800 square feet, which is one of our biggest resource center. And it's currently at $2.39 per square foot per month and $28.64 per annum. The monthly lease, because of the size, as you know, is 4,800 square feet. The monthly lease is $11,458 with an annual lease amount of $137,493. The annual rent increases by 3%. And the triple net for this site is $2,694 per month. Therefore, the total contractual obligation for 5 years for this site is $875,857. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Lynn. Do I have a motion for approval of item 5.5?
This is Denise. I'll make a motion to approve item 5.5. Thank you, Lynn.
Debbie Giaquinta will second it. And Debbie Giaquinta votes aye.
Denise Shields votes aye.
Motion passes. Item 5.6 is the president's report. And
here the president's report. We'll begin with our mid-year retreat, which occurred, I believe it was week before last. And it was absolutely extraordinary. Tim, can you fill us in a little bit? Tim was the champion for the retreat and organized us. Can you share some information?
I'll share. So we met mid-year to do kind of an update by the different department heads and also review our strategic initiatives for the year. This year we have several fantastic initiatives we're working on. I'll just give you some quick summaries, everything from student outcomes and our teaching and learning plan, continuing to work on increasing enrollment. We're working on communications. While we're in COVID, it's always a challenge to make sure that we're continuing on with internal communication so that all of our staff knows what's going on and gets the information they need. So we're working on that. Advocacy is always a theme that we spend time on and making sure that people know the great work that our staff does for our students. COVID continues to be a challenge, so we're working on all the ever-changing COVID protocols and requirements from the state. We are looking at unique and innovative ways to help our teachers get the credentials they need to continue their work in the instructional program. We're looking at different technologies that can support the work that we do in the instructional program as well. We are working on different college and career indicator items from the state, such as, you know, students going to community college and AP exams. I mentioned technology for the classroom, but there's also different technologies that we're working on for the office to make their work more efficient and more effective in getting the work quicker, better, faster, focused on data. We continue to monitor the fiscal health of the state of California because that directly impacts our financial situation. And always looking at ways which we can engage our alumni in different strategies so we can keep them informed and keep in touch with them. So those are just some of the highlights from our things that the leadership team is working on this year in support of what's happening at MIRIS.
Thank you. And it was such an inspiring week. We really enjoyed sharing and collaborating, and I feel so confident that our students are really in good hands. The second item is 5.6.2, and it's new assignments. I'd just like to share with you a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to start with a commendation of the MIRIS staff. We have an extraordinary staff. Not only are they committed to kids, but they are wonderful in terms of sustaining a culture through these last couple years. And I don't want to join the many voices bemoaning the last couple years, but I do want to say that it has been more of a challenge to keep the spirit of where we started, the philosophy and putting kids first. And our staff not only keeps that in mind and works with kids in mind always, but they also run wonderful, wonderful sites that are comfortable, attractive, clean, friendly, welcoming, collegial. They have a thing going amongst themselves at each site. And so I just really want to publicly commend the staff because we're so grateful. I know other schools have such terrible problems, but we are so lucky in having people that that are all about teaching and learning. And so we're grateful. I also want to share with you that we've brought on a couple of new positions. Actually, one position is a new person in that position, and that's the equity and inclusion position. And so they will be working to assure that every student in our school, in all our schools, receives everything that they need, in not only academically, but in every way. We try to be a support to them in many, many different ways. And we're so invested in that we have a special position that works with students or their families to create an organization that is sensitive and caring, and again, focused on individual needs. And so that person is Ana Maria Rojas, who's going to be joining us. Is it March 1st, Jim?
We're working on the date, but soon.
Right, very soon. She'll be taking a position that was currently held by Rachel Thomas, who's, of course, been with us for many, 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 many years. And so she's retiring and taking some time off for rest and recuperation. The other position, and this position has been actually not a separate position since the beginning. The HR position has been held by one of the leadership team along with other responsibilities. We've reached a point now where it really is imperative. And thank you, Tim, who's been doing it for 5 years as part of his responsibilities. He's done a fine job, but we really need to release him from that and find somebody that can work. Well, we found somebody that can work on the HR department full time. As years have gone past, we've grown larger. We have more people to take care of, and we have more responsibilities as the complexity of employability and everything related to it in California has gotten more and more involved. So we hired someone from inside. Her name is Veronica Akrakni. Do you know her? And she is so dynamic and animated. These two are quite the team that we just hired. They are really filled with a lot of enthusiasm. They're self-starters. They're great learners and teachers, and they're people. So we're happy to welcome both of them, and we have a great deal of confidence in where they'll help move our organization. The last item under the President's Report 5.6.3 is partnerships and collaborators. Debbie, do you want to share with that?
Sure. What we're doing here is we want to create one list organizationally that speaks to who our partners are and who our collaborators are. There are some partners that we have where we have formal MOUs, but we have many, many organizations that we work with that are simply collaborators. There's nothing that's formal, but we have worked with them for a long time and they provide a lot of support for our students and their families and the organization. So we are compiling one nice list of that, and we will be sharing that at a future date.
Right, and in fact, I've requested that at our annual meeting in June that we make that an annual agenda item so that everyone involved is aware of the names and the people that contribute and support our organization. So that's the end of the President's Report. Thank you so much. I appreciate your attention.
Thank you, Mary. Item 5.7 is the strategic plan update. Item 5.7.1, Amira Secondary School, and 5.7.1.1 is the school participation report for the period of 2021 and 22. Tim, is there a staff report for items 5.7.1.1?
Hi, Debbie. Thank you. On pages 33 through 36, you'll see the school participation report for the period of months, learning period months 3 through 6, which takes you from August 23rd, 2021 to December 10th, 2021. As of December 10th, 2021, the school's participation rate is 86.2%. So we're about 2.2% above the goal of 84%. So we're on target there. And there's specifics in terms of the resource centers in the school-wide in those documents.
Great, thank you. Mary, is there anything you would like to add?
No, this is just one of many, many, many data points that we gather, and it is meant to help us manage and support our staff at all the sites. So thank you, it's kind of self-explanatory.
Thank you. I think it speaks to what you were talking about the extraordinary staff. Those are great results. So item 6.0 is the consent agenda, and all matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and will be approved and enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by board members for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion for these items prior to the board vote on them. The president recommends approval of all consent agenda items. Item 6.1 is to consider approval of the meeting minutes for December 9th, 2021. 6.2 is to consider approval of the 2021 school accountability report card. Item 6.3 is to consider approval of the comprehensive school safety plan. 6.4, to consider approval of the staff student interaction policy 1500 amendment. Item 6.5 is to consider approval of the education for homeless youth and homeless children and youth policy 1750. Item 6.6 is to consider approval of education for foster and mobile youth policy 1752. 6.7 is to consider approval of educational equity and immigration status policy 1754. Item 6.8 is to consider approval of student fees policy 1800 amendment. 6.9 is to consider approval of the wellness policy 1910 amendment. 6.10 is to consider approval of the suspension expulsion policy 3110 amendment. 6.11 is to consider approval of the educational records and student information policy 3190 amendment. 6.12 is to consider approval of the student freedom of speech and expression policy 3250 amendment. Item 6.13 is to consider approval of cell phones, smartphones, pagers, and other electronic signaling devices policy 3320. And item 6.14 is to consider approval of section 504, policy procedures and parents' rights regarding identification, evaluation, and education 3325. 6.15 is to consider approval of administration of medication policy 5140 amendment. And item 6.16 is to consider approval of the transportation safety plan. Do I have a motion for approval of the consent agenda items 6.1 to 6.16?
This is Denise. I'll make a motion to approve collectively all the items under the consent agenda.
And Debbie Giaquinta seconds that motion. Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise? How do you vote, Denise?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Moving on to item 7.0, our action items. 7.1 are action items specific for Marist Secondary School. 7.1.1 is to consider acceptance of the audit report, financial statements, and supplemental information for year ended June 30, 2021. Lynn, do you have a report for item 7.1.1?
Yes, thank you, Debbie. Audit report is located under pages 272 to 314. Charter schools are mandated to provide the charter authorizer, the state controller's office, the county office of education, and the California Department of Education a copy of the annual audit report performed by those auditing firms that are approved by the CDE. This is a combined audit of the financial records, HR compliance, attendance reporting, mandated state compliance, and federal compliance when the total funds received from the federal agency is at least 750,000. The auditor performed tests to validate that the school is in compliance with the provisions of the law applicable to charter schools, regulations, contracts, and also as well as grant management. Moreover, Marist Education is audited to ensure compliance with the 2021 state audit guidelines used by the auditors, GAAP, which is your generally accepted accounting principles, FASB accounting standards, which stands for your financial accounting standard boards, which is the guidelines for nonprofit corporation. The financial statements and the state awards indicate unmodified opinion, which means that there are no findings, including even the prior year's audit. So this is a very clean audit.
Thank you. Great job. Mary, is there a recommendation for item 7.1.1?
No, I'd like to commend the finance department. There are some very committed people there that are just fanatic about doing a wonderful job. So thank you, Will. Please extend our thanks to all those people that keep all this data up to date. When Lynn said a clean audit, there were no exceptions, which is, it is not unusual to have an exception. We've never had one, but it is just a testimony to the people that work hard to see that we are not only financially viable, but that we're extremely transparent and effective. So thank you. I recommend approval.
Thank you. Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.1.1?
This is Denise. I'll make a motion to approve item 7.1-1.
All right. And Debbie Giaquinta seconds it. Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. Item 7.1.2 is to consider approval of the fiscal interim report 2021 to 22. And Lynn, do you have a report for item 7.1.2?
Yes, thank you, Debbie. The first interim report is located on your board packets, pages 315 to 332. Just wanted to, I know most of you knows about this, but I wanted to reiterate this information that charter schools are mandated to file two financial interim reports during the fiscal year regarding the financial health of the school. The first interim reports cover the period of July 1 to October 31st, and the school is required to submit the interim reports to the county superintendent of schools and the local authorizers no later than December 15 of every fiscal year. The second interim report covers the period of July 1 through January 31st, and the deadline to submit this is no later than March 15. Enrollment numbers, P2 average daily attendance, revenue expenditures, and multiple years projections and cash flow is reviewed by the authorizer through this report. As part of their oversight, Hesperia Unified School District reviewed the first interim report and concluded that the school is able to meet its financial obligations for the current fiscal year and two subsequent fiscal years. This is validated by a letter from the Assistant Director of Fiscal Services, Ryan Peterson, sent to us around December or early part of January. The interim reports compares the actuals from the 2021-2022 or the current year adopted budget versus the aggregate totals of the revenues, expenditures, the result between the excess or deficiencies between revenues and expenditures, and the net fund balance, which is up to the period of October 31st, 2021.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. Mary, is there a recommendation for item 7.1.2?
I recommend approval.
Okay, thank you. Debbie Giaquinta will make a motion to approve 7.1.2. Do I have a second?
This is Denise. I'll second that motion. Thank you.
Okay, and Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 7.1.3 is to review the February revised operational budget assumptions for fiscal year 2021 to 22 and consider approval of February revised operational budget fiscal year 2021 to 22. Lynn, do you have a report for item 7.1.3?
Yes, thank you, Deb. Thanks. This item is located on pages 333 to 342. We're requesting the board to consider the approval of the MIRS February revised operational budget with an estimated P2ADA of 302.45 and the enrollment projection of 345. As of February 11, the current enrollment is already at 331. The budget is reflects total projected revenue of 4.91 million. The total revenue is comprised of LCFF funding, which is 80% of the funding. Other state funding is about 12%, and the federal revenue is 8% of the budget. This budget also includes one-time special funding for MIRUS, which is your CARES Act ESSER II fund in the amount of $25,980, the CARES Act ESSER III fund, $201,618. The Expanded Learning Opportunities Grant, or ELO, which is this is comprised of a federal funds and a state funds. The federal funds is $31,500. The state funds is $15,264. We also have the Special Education Dispute Prevention, which is 4,087. The Special Education Learning Recovery Funds, 24,520, and Educator Effectiveness, which is 31,502. The projected expenditures for this budget is 4.52 million, which is comprising of your total payroll and benefits, about 2.9 million. The payroll expenditures represents about 60% of the total revenues. Books and supplies is $232,314, which represent about almost 5% of the total revenue. And the other operating expenses, which is about $1.25 million, We also provided provisions for capital outlay, which is $69,198. As shown on the budget assumptions, please note that the school has allocated a budget of $20,000 for budget and development to support for works directed towards innovation, research and development, I should say, to support the works for directed towards innovation, introduction, and improvement necessary for the support of the school, which is consistent with the MIRS education mission and purpose. We put an allocation of 8% towards the reserved, which is, it amounts to $392,856.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Mary, is there a recommendation for item 7.1.3?
A recommendation for approval.
Okay, Debbie Giaquinta makes a motion to approve item 7.1.3. Do I have a second?
This is Denise, and I'll second.
All right, Debbie Giaquinta votes aye. Denise?
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 7.1.4 is the Local Control and Accountability Plan, the LCAP, and an updated presentation by Tim.
Go ahead.
You can just take us.
Yeah, so I've got two PowerPoints. The first one will combine 7.1.4.1 and 7.1.4.2 with LCAP supplement to the annual update and outcome data. Those are within that. This is a new requirement this year. This is informational only, but because there's new funding sources from the state, they ask that LEAs give an annual update, a mid-year update, which typically this is a June item for the next coming year, but they wanted a mid-year as well. So let me share my screen. And you should be able to see the PowerPoint.
Yes, we can.
Oh, great, let me go to that. Okay. So this is specific for MIRIS. And it's year-to-date data. So it's for the first 6 months of the school year for the 21-22 school year LCAP. As you recall, our LCAP has five goals. So the Local Control Accountability Plan, we've developed five goals, and we've had these for several years now. Within each goal, there's different items and strategies we've implemented, and those often are updated or improved or added to each year with the revision to the LCAP. Goal one, and I'll go through these a little bit, but goal one is instructional. Goal two is really about curriculum. Goal three is about professional development. Goal four is about a safe and supportive environment and culture. And goal five is about innovative resource centers in the neighborhoods. So goal one, this is a broad and rigorous course of study focused on 21st century learning skills. These are aligned to the California standards, and it's available. Want to make sure this is available for all students. One of the outcomes this last year within this goal is that MIRIS has a 98.8% graduation rate. Actually, for the 2021 school year, because this is only sent out once a year, so the latest data that we got this fall was for the 2021 school year. It has the fifth highest graduation rate of all DOS schools in the state, which there's over 1,000. So MIRIS has done very well in terms of graduating their students, their seniors, and then the large group of seniors that falls within another student group, socioeconomically disadvantaged, is right behind at 97.9. So really strong graduation results for MIRIS. Chronic absenteeism, this is a year to date for the first 6 months. There are no K-8 students. MIRIS has some middle school students. They don't have K-5, but the state calculates this as a K-8, and there are no chronically absent students, which would mean 10% or more of a student was out for, didn't show work or work on anything for 10 instructional days. So you want this number low, and it is. Upcoming, where additional outcome data will be presented in the future, will be right now we're doing LPAC testing. In March, we'll do our Northwest Evaluation Association, our Measures of Academic Growth MAP testing for reading, language usage, and math. And then for the Smarter Balance, this May, we'll be doing English and mathematics for grades 7, 8, and 11 for MIRIS. Student participation, as I mentioned earlier, with one of the agenda items right now is at 86.2%. So our goal is 84. So the only student group that we are a little below the target is English learners at 80.5. And the other two, socioeconomic disadvantage and student disabilities, are above the goal. We do survey our students after 90 days of enrollment to see where their confidence levels are. And right now, those students are telling us about at MIRIS, 94% of them are surveying very confident in their work. Goal two, this is about curriculum, and we want to make sure that it is aligned to the Common Core state standards and A to G approved. 100% of the courses at MIRIS are, and along with the next generation science courses, along with English language arts, social science, and English language development standards, aligned to all those, 100%. And we have a compliant work experience education program. We are offering technical education, CTE pathways. We have 8 of them. You can see the list there, so it's pretty comprehensive. This is helpful for students that are interested in these different career paths, business, child development, design, visual, media arts, environmental resources, hospitality, IT, public safety, patient care. Right now, MIRIS has 32 students in AP courses. So these are advanced placement courses are run by the College Board, and they give students an experience of an intro to college level course while they're in high school. And we will offer AP exams this spring. We do have 2 students currently enrolled in college courses right now. So part of our goal with LCAP is to see students have the opportunities for dual enrollment so they can earn both college and high school credits at the same time. Goal 3 is about professional development. This will help increase teacher effectiveness and lead to high quality instruction. Right now, so far, MIRIS has about 1 hour less than 500 total teacher professional development hours. So our goal for everyone is that they have 60 or more hours a year through Altus University. This is our professional learning system, supporting a variety of needs from teaching content areas, mental health, use of technology, and the different college and career pathways. One, within this goal, we want to see, because math is such a challenge for our students, they oftentimes enroll with us 2 to 5 years behind in grade level in math. We want to make sure that everybody has a lot of math PD so that they can go back and work with their students. And so right now, they have about 85 hours. Then we do ask staff, was this relevant? Were you satisfied with the training? Right now, MIRIS has come back and said 99% relevancy and 98% satisfaction. So we know that the professional development we're providing is what works for them. And then we also have a question that we ask our students, rate your satisfaction with your overall experience at the school. The students, 93%, and then we also asked our parents, and they're 97%. So we like to see 90% or higher. Goal 4, safe environment, supportive school culture. Some of the data that we're looking at is, you know, low number of suspensions and expulsions. Right now, this year, we've only had 1 expulsion, no suspensions for the fall. Typically, that's the most we've ever had. So it should hopefully remain a very low number. School safety satisfaction, we also asked this as an LCAP survey question of students and parents. Right now, students are telling us 95%, and then 100% of parents say they feel their students are safe at the resource center. And then the last goal about innovative, engaging, community-based resource centers. We're doing a variety of engagement events for our stakeholders, student site council, English Language Advisory Committee. These are staff and parents together reviewing different items within our program and making recommendations. We have an ongoing family learning series where students, parents, and their family members can attend on different topics that are important to our stakeholders. We do have open house events in the fall. We just finished progress reports and conferences for all of our students in January. We have a college and career week coming up in February where outside folks can come in and talk about college experiences and career options for our students. And then senior night events are scheduled for the month of March so that they can learn about graduation requirements, graduation ceremonies, and anything FAFSA college information so they can have that. And another question we do ask in this survey is, are you engaged in the different opportunities that we provide and accessing new technologies? So 93% of students said yes, and 92% of parents said yes as well. So in summary, at this mid-year check-in for the LCAP, the survey results continue to come back strong that our partners, students, and parents are satisfied with the progress of what we've implemented with the LCAP, with the different actions and services. Student outcomes related to engagement, achievement, and metrics have remained really strong throughout COVID-19. So typically, we're noticing that other schools and districts are decreasing in their outcomes, and we've remained steady or we've improved through the pandemic. And we're happy to answer any questions relating to the annual update and some of the outcome data that comes with the LCAP. That part of the presentation, give me a minute and I will transition to the next one. But if there's questions on this, please, I'm happy to answer those. So in item 7.1.4.3, this is the mid-year expenditure and implementation data. So this is, again, a mid-year part of the LCAP, but this is just more finance related activities with the LCAP. So, oops, I think I grabbed the wrong one. Hold on. So, and this is a budget overview. So part of the LCAP requirement is that there's a few years ago, they implemented a budget overview for parents to help them understand where the money is being spent on some of these different activities. Part of the mid-year updates is that there's a lot of money for this last budget cycle with different grants. One of them was the A to G completion grant that was discussed earlier in this meeting. So it's really meant to provide a simplistic view of how a school's financial resources are being spent, and then provide the update to the board of directors on how we're doing with that. So we'll just go through some of the newer funds for this budget cycle. Unfortunately, half of them are not non-classroom based schools like Marist are not eligible. So the first four listed here are not available to non-classroom based schools. The last four are though. So we'll talk a little bit about those. Educator effectiveness, A to G completion improvement grant, dispute resolution, and learning recovery. So educator effectiveness, they want to, they're giving money, about $1.5 billion to schools in California to provide PD to teachers that are working with students. They also, the A to G completion grant, as I mentioned before, is about trying to help lower performing student groups complete the A to G courses so they can go on to college and get accepted to different universities. Dispute resolution helping to resolve any issues of special education services or complaints that are out there with the pandemic. They've seen an increase in that, so they're providing funds to help handle that situation and be proactive in preventing them. And then learning recovery from some of the learning loss that's happened with students being at home and potentially not participating in education like they have prior to the pandemic. So the MERS allocations are listed here, a little less than $40,000 for the educator effectiveness, about $150,000 for the A to G completion grant, dispute resolution, a little more than $5,000, and learning recovery, about $24,000. Again, although there's quite a bit of money for these different grants, only about 31% of them are available to non-classroom-based schools. And these funds can be spent over the next few years. So if you're not able to spend it all in one year, we can do this over several years, which is helpful for planning and making sure that we are best using our funds to the best of our ability. But because there's not a lot of funds available to non-classroom base for MERS and our other non-classroom based schools, there's not a big impact to our overall budget. So it's kind of minor when it comes to non-classroom based schools and additional funds compared to maybe like a larger school district that had mostly traditional schools. Part of the funding increase has been with the state has, for these student groups, increased the concentration funding for schools. About, for MERS, it's about $75,000. The goal here is to, and you have to increase that 15%, you have to increase the staff that you hire. So right now we're actively recruiting for two CTRs or paraprofessionals that can help support us in working in the resource center with our students and use these funds for that. The dispute resolution funds is being used to conduct voluntary dispute resolution activities. The good news is we have a very strong special ed department, so we can't have to deal with these too much because they're on top of everything. But part of the activities, helping to facilitate IEPs, if we need to consult with a third party, if we need to have a proactive resolution session conducted by our SELPA or other mediators, we can use these funds for those types of activities. And then the learning recovery funds, this is to help support pupils with disabilities impacted by COVID if they weren't getting services or because they missed them by not being able to attend or for whatever reason, we can use these funds to help support that. So that may be additional emotional needs by hiring licensed therapists, helping to make up any mental health sessions that a student with disabilities was needing, support transportation costs, and school psychologists. Because when COVID hit, there was quite a backlog in terms of testing for students in the renewal of their IEPs or newly identified students. So this helps to overcome some of those challenges with the pandemic. Overall, so this, we were on track to spend our LCAP expenditures as budgeted. This covers the first interim report, which is through October 30th. So we are doing well in terms of meeting the expectations to fund the LCAP and the different services or activities. So we don't see any challenges with any of that midway through the year. So that's really good news. And then we did get some federal funding that's pulled into some of the LCAP reporting as well. For the federal funding, which is the ESSER 2 and 3, we have spent the funds. We went from 3 days a week cleaning to 5 days a week cleaning. We've added a variety of new software and technologies. For example, because we were trying to avoid a lot of in-person activities, we now have brought on DocuSign. So for contactless enrollment, IT support, technology to support the remote work access tools. Some of the student internet access, mobile hotspots and Chromebooks has been used here for these funds. We have purchased air purifiers for all of our resource centers and higher quality air filters. They are changed out quarterly through the maintenance department to ensure we have good air quality, because we know that that helps to reduce the spread of COVID. So we've used some of those funds for the air quality. And then the other category here provides funding for our student snacks and meals, digitizing of student records. So we're trying to move from a lot of paper-based to electronic-based, teacher PD and technology equipment. So we've made good use of our federal funds as well. So that concludes the mid-year expenditure and implementation data as it relates to the LCAP. And again, happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Well done.
Yeah, great.
Very self-explanatory. Really well done.
Are there any other questions or comments?
It was such a thorough report. I don't have any comments or questions.
Yeah, it was a great report. Okay, moving on, we have the board announcements and comments. And from time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community, and they are informational in nature and do not require any action. Are there any announcements or comments? Okay, thank you. With none being mentioned, we will move to item 9.0, which is adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn our meeting today?
This is Denise, and I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting today.
Debbie Chiaquinta seconds it and votes aye. Denise?
Aye.
Motion passes. And with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
Take care.